Hello, heroes, and welcome to another exciting episode of One Shot. I'm James D'Amato, your host and game master. And folks, this week we have an incredible treat for you, because I'm going to be joined by my good friends, the Try Guys, as they try the role-playing classic Dungeons and Dragons. Since I think there's a good chance we'll be joined by new listeners this week, I wanted to take some time to explain the basics. Tabletop role-playing games, or RPGs, are a type of game where players generate stories through shared imagination. When we play, we don't know where the story's going, and we're finding out together. The first and most famous example of an RPG is Dungeons and Dragons. It was published in 1974, and it defines what most people picture when they think of role-playing games. In D&D, people roll dice and refer to information on character sheets to influence their storytelling. At the end of the day, the players at the table decide what their characters do, and the dungeon master, in this case me, interprets those decisions into the story, at the same time challenging players with opposing characters, monsters, and dangerous situations. Together, the Try Guys and I are going to tell you an extremely silly tale of thrilling adventure. And I am so happy to bring it to you because I love the Try Guys. My spouse and I watch their videos together every week. And I also love role-playing games. They're my favorite form of creative expression. And from what I've seen of the guys and their audience, I know so many of you out there are going to love them too. I was so excited that Zach and Eugene had never played role-playing games before. They did such an amazing job, and I had so much fun playing with them. You're all in for something really special. To my regular one-shot heroes, you'll be able to watch a video about me playing D&D with the Try Guys over on their channel. Just go to youtube.com and search for the Try Guys. Everyone who's looking to hear the full thrilling tale of their adventure with D&D, you've come to the right place. One Shot is a weekly podcast, and we'll be releasing their adventure 1 hour at a time. So be sure to check back here over the next couple of weeks to hear their adventure. Now with all of that out of the way, let's get to the show. All right, heroes, let's meet our party for this week. And I am very excited because we got the Try Guys on the show this week. First up is my old friend, Ned Fulmer.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good, Ned. I'm super excited to have you on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Since perhaps there is someone in my audience who doesn't know who the Try Guys are, would you mind explaining who you wonderful people are?
Yeah, we are the Try Guys. We are an internet comedy group. We're four guys who try new things. We'll try anything and everything. We've tried a labor pain simulator, UFC cage fighting, swimming with sharks, and now D&D.
So one of the more physically taxing things that you've tried.
D&D, absolutely.
Yeah, so this is going to be an interesting one. And Ned, you've played role-playing games before.
I have. When I first moved to LA, I got involved in a group of people playing Pathfinder, which was my first introduction to it. That was like a gateway drug, because now I play Magic the Gathering. I'm on to my second role-playing campaign.
Yes.
It's a sci-fi role-playing game, but I've never played D&D, so I'm excited to check out the original.
I'm super excited to check it out with you. Next up, we got Keith Habersberger. Keith, welcome to the show. Did I say that right?
You did. Okay. Keith Habersberger.
Habersberger.
It's actually Keith Habersberger. You just repeat it.
Uh-huh. Keith, thank you so much for joining us.
This is my pleasure. I'm very excited. We have color-coordinated dice and pencils here today.
Spell cards.
I've got spells here. Cool. I'm excited to be my character. I love improv comedy, and this is basically just improv sitting down.
Yeah, exactly. Our audience might also recognize you from Lueberger.
Yes, I have a comedy music band called Lueberger. We do funny songs, kind of like Flight of the Conchords meets Weird Al. We don't do as many parodies, but it's folk harmony, but not necessarily folk music.
I highly recommend checking them out. They were extremely funny on TV when I watched them there.
Thanks.
Next up, we have Zach Kornfeld. Welcome to the show. I had to remember your name for a second.
You did wonderfully. You dug deep and you got it. You went down to that well and came back.
Can you tell I'm nervous? Don't worry about it. Zach, have you ever played a role-playing game before?
Dude, I am stoked to be here. I have never played, I don't think I've ever played any sort of role-playing game, at least not organized. I did a lot of this as a kid with myself, like just with action figures. I had very elaborate, long, season-long adventures. And this does kind of feel like the missing link of my personality. I'm surprised it has taken me 28 some odd years to get here, but I'm excited to see how this goes.
Yeah, we all feel like this is the game that we never knew we needed.
I feel like kind of a big dummy right now. Yeah. Like everything I'm hearing, I'm like, okay, well, what have I been doing?
I really hope we awaken something in you today.
I hope we awaken something in you right back.
Oh, you've already done that. Let's move on to Eugene. Eugene Li Yang, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, it's my pleasure. I have done zero role playing. Outside of the bedroom.
Hey. That's the joke we were looking for.
Yeah, you guys were circling around the erection joke for a while. I can't wait to get hard from this game.
Whoa.
Boner alert.
Yeah, you will be turgid. Okay.
You told me before in the character creation that it can get kind of sexy.
It absolutely can, if that's where you want it to go. And the thing that I was alluding to there is, and maybe this isn't worthwhile for either show, but BDSM and Dungeons & Dragons are very similar structurally.
We've
done the other one.
Calling him not my dungeon master, but my dungeon daddy.
And Zach, I'm so happy to be your dungeon daddy.
Yeah.
So, like, what a Dom is doing in the bedroom is essentially bringing someone's fantasies to life within the preset rules and parameters.
So you're the Dom here.
So yeah, I'd be the Dom. Sense now. You'd meet my delicious subs and switches.
Well,
and
I know that you have normal players, but we're gonna sub in today.
Hey.
With all of that out of the way, I want to welcome you to the land of Snowdonia. It is a frigid place that is full of wild weather and dangerous forests.
Ned's taking notes, so I'm taking notes, too.
I'm also writing down Snowdonia. Mm-hmm.
We have a full moon that is over a forest, peeking through a layer of clouds. There is dim light all around, and normally this would be a peaceful and lovely place to lay your beds, but...
It sounds sexy.
Sounds like Seattle.
In the night, we can hear screaming. It sounds like people shouting to one another. As a light rain starts to fall, we peer through groves upon groves of trees into a small clearing where a fire has been lit. And then moving across the fire, blocking it out, lit up in this brilliant red, we see Ned, your character. Please describe him.
I am Edgar the Destroyer.
Hell yeah.
6'10", soaking wet.
Because you're known to get taller when wet.
I am a human barbarian. I take no prisoners, and I always skip leg day.
So
this is what I look like.
You're very top heavy.
Yes!
We see an incredibly muscular, beefy man with skinny chicken legs locked
you
in combat.
You walk around on your arms.
He's holding his axe in defense against this looming skeleton, which has in its hands an old rusted mace. Its eyes blaze green, cutting through the darkness of the forest. We can see Edgar grappling with it, calling out to his comrades. I would like you, Ned, to take your d20, it will be the die shaped like this, you nailed it, and roll that for me to see where you start off in this story.
Four. Oh no.
So you are locked grappling with this thing, you're very, very strong, but you're also incredibly top heavy. So the creature looms against you, and you just catch balance in the wrong way and fall down. So the creature begins try and smash its mace down on you. As it's doing that, one of your friends comes to your aid. Zach, who is your character?
Hello, friends. I am Hatankles, the irresistibly charming, sexy little demon bad boy tiefling bard. When I'm not busy charming the pants off of all those here in Snowdonia, I'm singing songs and spreading joy and merriment and making people fall in love with my sonorous voice. Sonorous voice.
Is it halfling?
Tiefling.
Tiefling. Tieflings are like
smaller?
Part
double. No, I'm not tiny. I'm a normal sized demon bad boy.
Whatever height you think sexy starts at, he's at least there.
Okay.
I am the hottest height. Whatever you think it is, I
just add a couple more inches on top of
just
that.
Just like 1.5 inches more.
So Zach, we see your character, and I think you are dramatically backlit right now. We can see like spells slinging back and forth in the background. I think there's like this electric blue that lights up the area, showing the contrast of your skin. And you see your friend.
I've got like hot green skin, but I blush purple.
Yeah,
and it's got horns.
Instead of like one of those.
I'm Jewish though. It's the tiefling thing.
I wasn't thinking it.
Cool.
No one was thinking that, Zach.
Very
except for kids on the school bus in the 90s. Well, instead of one of those shots where we like pan up on your character, it's a down shot because we want to linger on those ankles for a little bit.
Yeah.
As we do that, I think we cut to a real extreme close-up of your face. It's like you see what is happening to Edgar. What do you do to intervene?
I think I'm going to sing a song.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Give me a d20 roll here.
Damn it.
Hell yeah.
Damn it,
this
Zach.
Is the large
light of the night, baby.
Yes.
Oh my god, I'm about to get bludgeoned with a mace.
Which one do I roll?
So it'll be the one shaped like this. That's it.
This perfect. One. All right. Let's sing a song, baby. 15.
Hell yeah, 15.
Okay. La, la, la.
Yeah, please describe, what is your style of music?
Why don't you just sing the song?
I dabble in a lot of styles, multi-part melodies with myself.
Ooh, yeah, I like that. Well, you've got these magic spells that you can sing with multiple voices.
Yeah, I just kind of like just shock people with how beat, you know, like the way you think you sound in the shower? Mm-hmm. That's me all the time.
Hell yes. Wow. So, wow. Edgar, you're on the ground.
I want to hear the song.
Yeah.
Are we going to, you're so.
I want him to sing a couple bars to get me inspired. Also, what type of a song is it? How's it going to help me?
What's the beast attacking him?
It's a skeleton.
Edgar, I'm going to save you from that spooky skeleton. Yeah, ooh, man. Yes.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, narrates
how
the action.
So, will he do it?
So the trick of it, you are like scrambling for your axe, like as you've been knocked to the ground.
Drop my axe.
Ooh, a scribble scramble.
And with that, like you can't help but move your body to his sweet melody.
Oh, yeah.
Move those hips.
And you move your hand in the perfect way in a single fluid motion. You pick up your axe to defend yourself just as the mace is coming down. You knock it to the side. All because of the beautiful, melodious accompaniment of
la,
the
la,
tangles.
La, 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 la.
With that, we hear a zap in the background and we cut over to Eugene. Please introduce us to your character.
Ah, what draconian nightmare is this that I stumble upon the company of two members of a subpar male species?
Oh my god, yes, the light, the moonlight, like just a part of the clouds pierces through the darkness and lights you up radiantly.
Did I leave the grasp of my druid husband who only thought he could make love as a bear? No, it was me, the beast all along, who left into the arms of a female strider, a ranger who took me into her womanly bowels and made me see the light of discovery. And here I am, trying to find myself. Yes, I'm Carol.
Carol!
The rogue drow.
So
a rogue drow.
Here's my favorite thing about this,
exactly,
is we've cut over to Eugene, whose character is just looking at this battle like having an internal noir monologue. Mm. It's great. I think your cigarette in its long cigarette holder lights up the darkness. And because this is fantasy, I think the smoke shimmers a beautiful silver that matches your hair. It like lights up the darkness around you and gives you this incredibly dramatic lighting effect. Being confronted by this like vision of chaos of people battling skeletons in the woods, what do?
I completely ignore them. No, I must help.
Okay.
They piqued my curiosity.
Mm.
I do feel bored by the constant humdrum life of this fantasy world. And I feel like maybe by joining this tiny little ankled man and this
I'm a normal sized man. I define my character traits. This is fantasy.
This
but then
giant...
why is it called a tiefling? It's like a tiny
I'm sorry,
Dungeon Master, this is a very tiny man I'm standing.
Right? Oh, no.
no, no.
I will roll for my height right the fuck now.
Well, I like the you know screwball comedy chops of this situation. Tiny man, a giant barbarian who's very top heavy, mm-hmm. just like my last lover. So I think I'll join in and maybe try some stabby stabs, yeah?
Oh, heck yes. So please roll a d20 for me. Again, that'll be the die shaped like this. It'll have, it's
You're
right
like Cate
there.
Cate Blanchett by way of Audrey Hepburn.
Well, a mixture of many of Cate Blanchett's characters. Cate Blanchett, if you imagine, in The Aviator. So a little bit of Katharine Hepburn mixed with the look of Galadriel, but of course the sexual middle-aged prowess of Carol.
And what are you? Wow.
I'm a rogue drow, darling.
Yeah, what's a drow?
What's a drow?
So a dark elf, but we don't say that these days.
Yeah,
it's unbecoming.
A drow is an elf with like kind of a darker purple skin tone and silver white hair.
I know this. Yeah. Okay, great.
We're politically correct here. Yeah. Let's roll for a high number, I believe.
Yeah, we're just rolling. All right. We're just looking for high number. This is cinematic.
And am I attacking Ned or Zach?
No. You don't have to. I think you're attacking like one of the skeletons attacking them, or you can attack Ned or Zach, and we can see how that plays out.
Wait, we're not trying to beat each other?
No.
Oh, we're on a campaign together.
Ah, we're friends.
This is not. Ah. Yeah, maybe that's one thing that I should have explained about.
That's a misconception for me.
Is typically it's a collaborative game where you're working towards a common goal.
Typically.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can change.
Well, as a drow, that's a very foreign concept to me, but I'm on board.
Hell yeah.
All right, here we go.
Save me.
20!
Wow!
So, when someone rolls a 20 on...
Now, this is the only take we're doing. We didn't stage that. That's incredible. His first roll is a natural 20.
Is this good, dog?
What?
It's incredibly good.
It's incredibly good.
This is so indicative of Eugene and his whole thing. So, a 20 in D&D is a critical success. It represents...
Much like all of my Oscar-winning films.
Yes.
Yes.
It is a truly inspiring, marvelous, legendary thing that strikes people with awe. All of the characters in this game are heroes. You know, they are people who can achieve and do things that most people can only dream of. And for, you know, someone like you, it happens 5% of the time. So you manage to roll a 20. I think you take down several skeletons.
Hell yeah.
Please tell me what that looks like.
Well, I first look them deep in the eyes to make sure that they're mesmerized by the visual grace of Carol. And then as they're staring deep into what I would call the cosmic bounds of my sexual prowess, I stab them right in the heart with a dagger of truth as I exhale slowly from my perpetually lit cigarette.
Oh, heck yeah. So I think these are skeletons that inside their eyes and their rib cages, there's this green fire. It's the magical force driving them forward, and they're all looming at you. You're surrounded, but of course, you mentioned that you are like mesmerizing them with your looks and grace. I think what happens, like they're looming in on you, and there's this hypnotic step with just the way you move, and you step into one of the skeletons, and what these people around you witness is a tango between you and literal death. Mm. You're moving
every day,
from
darling.
Partner to partner, whirling around. Some of their weapons are even whirling into each other. It's just a beautiful, graceful dance that ends with one of the skeletons in your arms dipping it. And in that dip, we're seeing you face to face with death, the glowing green of its eyes reflecting off of your silver white hair. And that green slowly dims as we see you've stabbed it in the heart.
Yes, and what I say right before I stab him, I whisper right in the skeleton's non-existent ear, gay rights.
Oh my god, it dies with like a rainbow flicker. Yes. Like it goes through a Roy G. Biv as its eyes extinguish.
Also, my rapier's name is Gay Rights.
Hell yes.
And whatever soundtrack you were just listening to, I provided that, thank you.
the daggers, the gay agenda. Okay, with that, I think we hear a rumbling through some trees in a clearing. And Keith, I think your character is going to be face to face with an enormous skeletal beast.
Oh no.
So first, please introduce us to your character.
So, I'm Joshua. I'm halfway through a painting. I'm sort of trying to capture what's going on here with the battle in front of me, the beautiful fire, Edgar's top-heavy torso, the beautiful Carol, the tiny, tiny Hatankles.
I'm normal.
Comparison to all of us who are so
big. I'm like 6'5 in this world.
I'm still often being flooded with memories of my previous relationship, which obviously ended in a way that I didn't like, but I'm ever on my quest to gather all the paints I can get. So I'm really just lost in the painting right now with my back leaned against a tree.
Oh, I love this. So we see Joshua has an easel set up, this battle just as painting. It's unfolding. We can see it's capturing the beautiful chaos of the battle, but at the same time, we can see the pain of your heartache woven into each brushstroke. It's rough work right now, but anyone with skilled eyes could clearly see this will one day be the work of a master. Mm. And you finish a stroke when you go, well, the color's not quite right there. It's more green than it should be. And you consult your palette, and the palette is correct. And then you feel the looming green light behind you. Zach, what terrible skeletal beast is looming behind our dear friend here?
Why, it's a giant skeleton. Abraham Lincoln.
So there is this skeleton.
A human.
There's a human
just skeleton. Just a big human.
Now he's got the hat and the beard.
Okay. This 10-foot-tall skeleton is behind you. It's giant green eyes. It is wearing this ancient stovepipe hat that is rotting and deteriorating, and we can see a beard composed of moss hanging from its face.
Also, it has spider legs.
And it is sitting on top like a giant centaur, but a spider, so it's got like this horrible skeletal spider body, like those Halloween decorations spiders have skeletons is looming behind you. And like, it's got a human face and whatnot, but I think that opens up to be like a mandible jaw as it like looms down on you and hisses. Can I get a d20 roll from you?
Oh boy, this is crazy. Nine.
Not great, not bad. So yeah, this is kind of a middle of the road role. What I want is, how do you defend yourself, being aware that it's going to make your situation much worse?
Well, I do love the beautiful green that's shimmering out of its chest, so I reach with my paintbrush into his chest to just grab a bit of that color. It's just so beautiful, I must have it.
Oh my god, that's so good. So you reach into like your pouch of spell components and pull out a crystal. You put that crystal into its chest and it comes out, the white crystal has been overtaken by this beautiful emerald green, a shade that does not occur in nature.
So beautiful.
But you grab that and the Lincoln roars in pain, and I think we cut to a very quick shot of all of you running out of the forest away from this spider beast together.
Go, bros.
So since you are running from this gigantic skeletal monster, what are you going to do to get away? I'm assuming, based on what Eugene said, that Carol has not been traveling with your group so far, but it seems like everybody else may be acquainted with one another.
Someone's magical phone is vibrating.
Not mine.
I'm sorry, it was mine.
Carol!
Carol!
If you're gonna roll with us, we have rules, bro.
I just don't know if I want to join this motley crew. However, Joshua, my ex-husband was an artist, a druid artist, so you know I despise landscapes. But something about you makes me feel
I'm working on a landscape.
Exactly.
I'm trying to be a great landscape artist.
You're saying this like vaulting over trees and like diving through bushes as this horrible beast is clambering behind you.
I take my axe and start swinging, just hacking trees as we're going to try and get a little like,
ooh, look out for that tree.
So,
watch yourself.
Edgar is felling trees on your path.
Like one stroke, bam!
Well, Hatankles guides you with his bard song through the chaos of these trees falling.
Take a left up here, boys and lady.
You'll need, I think Carol and Joshua will need to do something dramatic in order to
make out.
Truly, like that would be dramatic, but probably not helpful against a giant skeletal Abraham Lincoln spider.
Who knows? Maybe it'll confuse it.
What's happening?
They'd be like, oh, that's pretty cool. They seem like they're in love. I should leave them alone.
What is the plan? Yeah.
Well, I could create an illusion and see if it goes after that instead.
That
thoughts,
is a
bros?
Dope play. I say go for it, please.
Okay, I would like to cast Minor Illusion and create an equally attractive but female version of the monster that's chasing us.
Okay, so we see emerging from the trees a spider skeletal centaur Mary Todd Lincoln.
Yeah.
Lincoln, is chasing you with its horrible mandibled mouth and stops. As it sees Mary Todd emerging from the bushes and removes its hat.
His skeletal jaw just falls off.
And might I interject?
Yes,
why
please.
Do we assume that this Abraham Lincoln spider person is into people of the lady kind?
I just made a snap judgment. I didn't mean to usurp.
No,
it seems. I have to roll to see if it's attracted.
And there is some historical evidence.
Historically married together.
But there's
marriage
some
doesn't
people
mean anything.
Say
that means a lot to me.
Whoa.
Is that part of your quest or something, Edgar?
That is true.
My child, stolen from me. Years ago.
On that night, we are going to cut to a flashback very quickly. Of
Spider, you're gonna have to hold it.
Yeah, we cut to a flashback of Edgar in his room where he and his wife lived happily with their child wrapped up.
My bone spur armor hung up in my closet. A day for fighting, gone.
Please describe your barbarian wife.
Hey, whoa.
The most beautiful creature ever. Tall. Dreadlocks. Hell yes!
Was she taller than Hot Ankles here?
Oh yeah.
Easy.
Totally banging body, rippling biceps, and triceps.
Which are currently cradling a very muscular baby.
Never skips leg day.
Okay, but I was taller than the baby.
No.
Just barely.
The baby.
I would highly doubt that.
This baby could tummy time for hours at a time.
Blasted out of the womb. Blasted out of the womb. Solid 5'6".
And we can see that you are reading to this child. Like as your wife is cradling the child, you're reading a history of skeletal Abraham Lincoln to the child. It's one of the last memories that you have, explaining why the history is so important to you. We cut back to reality. There is a distraction here, heteronormative though it may be. Mm. We do have a distraction on the table, and you, being a rogue, would be an expert at stealth. How do you manage to secret these people out of danger?
Well, I feel that besides Hot Ankles, we have too much size going on here. We're too out in the open. But I imagine that under the guise of this Mary Todd intrusion, mm-hmm. these feminine wiles, that we can use the mist, the smoke that's coming from my perpetually lit cigarette.
Oh, yes.
As a smoke and mirrors ploy to get ourselves out of danger.
Making my abs glisten real nice.
That's the mirror.
Yeah, from this cigarette emanates this fog of silvery smoke, which you manage to duck all of these incredibly tall people, some slightly taller than others, into this silvery fog and secret them away, just as we can hear the pained scream of Skeletal Lincoln as it discovers that it was a mere illusion that distracted him.
Four score!
We did it, guys. Nice work, Carol. Edgar?
Pretty rough night at the theater. Because that's how Abe Lincoln died.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I thought you were referring to the campfire.
So you are pulling out of the woods of Snowdonia, a notoriously dangerous place, but one of the only places that you can navigate in this region between towns. I think sitting in Hatankel's pocket is a call sheet written up by his manager. Can you please tell me the name of your manager, Hatankel's?
Yes, well, my beautiful gifts and my talents were bestowed onto me by a giant, a freakishly large kitty cat named Keith. Purely coincidence.
I didn't think it was me. I'm Joshua. Yeah.
Keith the kitty cat saw within me great potential and gave me all of the magic and the ability and this beautiful sonorous voice that I now have.
So as you exit this forest, you see a small hunched creature that appears to be wearing like tattered rags and whatnot, holding a sign that says Hatankel's and like looking around.
This must be my valet for the show coming up.
Whoa. I'm sorry, brave warriors. Would any of you be Hatankel's?
What do you think? Should I tell them who I am?
Why not? I always trust every stranger I meet.
Hmm. I don't even know who you are at this point.
Oh, yeah, should we like get to, well, we'll oh, get yeah, to know please, each other
I mean,
later.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, what's up, Hatankel's?
Ah, yes, the small one.
Bard extraordinaire, beautiful voice, love to sing. And you are?
I don't know who I am anymore.
You're Carol.
That's what my ex-husband would say.
Oh.
It's on your monogrammed handbag.
Well, this I couldn't throw away. Men, yes. Handbags, no.
The Tangles, just tell the guy it's you. He's probably going to take us to a hotel or something.
It's true. Let's see what happens. I approach the beautiful old man, and I say, hello. I am Hatankel's, and these are my new friends.
Hello. It's nice to meet all of you. My name is Kilometers. I'm a gremlin.
Wow.
And I have been dispatched by your friend Keith to help you in this new town. he booked you for a night of singing and heroism.
Wow.
So we're really excited to get you in here. We don't get a lot of acts coming through. Most of them die on the road. So I am extremely excited to see you.
Heck yeah.
Edgar, don't you have an axe?
Oh, yeah. I'm Edgar the Destroyer, and I got an axe for you, baby.
Whoa. You gonna attack my friend?
No. I got one it's really a three-axe structure.
So wild.
I kind of have some lower axes I can kind of use to...
I got the rising action and the falling action.
No, I get the joke now. It took me a second.
Oh, this joke
and
has multiple layers.
At the end, it's going to send you into a climax of rage.
Wow.
Whoa.
show performance acts.
Yeah, that is more what we meant.
I didn't know because he was not a very good singer.
Yeah, good, because my axe is not for sale.
Carol, I just want to tell you, you are going wildly against the traits that are fact in this world. I am a beautiful singer.
He is. I saw him open for Shakira. Different one, obviously.
Yeah, different Shakira.
Shakira of Snowdonia.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I've been traveling around as a solo act, but it hasn't quite saved the world yet, has it? It's moved people, sure, but I don't know. What do you say, gang?
Oh, I'm really just an artist, but I could, you know, make some dope banners for your show.
I'm searching for my family. Therefore, I will help you.
You remind me of the daughter I left behind, and she always tried to prove something to me, so I apologize for the harsh tone I took with you, but I would love to see you prove yourself and perform on this wonderful act.
Snowdonian Idol.
Guys, I can't tell you how great this is. I'm so excited to welcome you into our community that has been plagued by a terrible crimson mist.
Oh.
It rolls in through town and it causes all kinds of chaos, summoning large, terrible monsters and really just wracking our community.
Carol hasn't had a crimson mist since her mid-40s.
That was inappropriate.
It was pretty
inappropriate.
Even in this non-denominated time.
We don't know that
exactly.
Well.
Yeah, I am middle-aged, but what are you trying to
say? It liberated her. She feels great.
Liberation is all but relative, Dolly.
So far, what most people have been doing to rid ourselves of the Crimson Mist is trying witches in the area where, you know, we find someone, we accuse them of being a witch or a warlock of some kind, and then we have them put to death, which has not been working. I think we've just been killing a lot of young people. unjustly. So would really love some outside advice, maybe some consultancy here. Otherwise, I think they're just going to keep killing witches.
Well, go ahead.
Where does the crimson mist come from?
Good question.
I mean, you got me, Jack.
But what direction, kilometers?
From over there.
And there is a lightning strike and dramatic trill of thunder as we can see this Snowdonian village that has a hazy mist about it that appears in the moonlight with these like oddly shaped Gothic houses.
Are you guys thinking what I'm thinking? This is a great place to film a music video for me.
Dude, yeah.
I feel like we should go check it out.
Gonna have to find a camera or some means of capturing video and audio, but I'm down.
I mean, isn't your painting basically the same thing?
I could paint it one frame at a time, I suppose.
I haven't seen this.
Okay.
Well, while we're doing this, I do feel like we should be defending these young nubile witches who might need a rescuer of some sort, any sex, any gender.
So I'm not in it for the ladies right now. I'm in it for the pigments and the promotions.
We should probably start asking the townspeople, maybe, what's
Crimson
happening here.
Mist makes me angry.
Maybe.
I'm starting to see red.
Maybe.
Well, I think that's the mist.
Maybe we'd all feel a little bit better after a nice dinner.
Hard cut, too. We see you sitting around a table. Please tell me, what have you ordered to eat?
One single grape.
So, like, we see you just, like, lounging gloriously with this dramatically lit grape in the middle of your plate.
Yes. And I'm not eating it. I just ordered it. Because polite society.
What about Hatankles? What is Hatankles order?
I'm eating a pate of cat food on a cracker as an ode to my kitty Keith.
Mm-hmm.
And with each bite, I grow stronger. And my voice gets more beautiful and silky smooth.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, like you do it and you laugh and you can't help but laugh in scales. It's just...
Ha 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 ha. Yum.
What about Joshua? What does Joshua eat?
Well, I got some snacks for the table.
Oh, nice.
I got some things we can nibble on. I've gotten myself a beer, and I have also ordered the local fowl served fried.
All right.
So, but I've got plenty to share.
New friend, I've eaten nothing but cat food for the past 2 years. I would love to try some of this fowl.
Sure. Yeah, we got mostly thighs. Pretty much only thighs somehow. Yeah?
Yeah.
Let me grab you a paper towel.
In that way, Joshua never skips leg day.
Ha.
What about
Edgar? He's eating up in here. I'm taking this jacket off.
Oh, it's just a light dinner. I'm having a full boar shank slathered in peppercorn sauce with a steak on the side. I've got a giant wedge salad with iceberg lettuce full of tomatoes. I've got a giant roast chicken. Actually, it's a turducken. We got a turkey inside a duck, inside a chicken, with a quail hen. And to top it all, I got a giant bowl of chocolate ice cream.
Cold chicken, my favorite. Thank you,
oh,
Joshua.
Oh, yeah, man. Of course, bro. I thought you had a roast chicken, so I didn't want to impose.
No, it's okay.
I feel like this needs something. Do you have a sauce?
Oh, I do. I have this red sauce. I mostly use it for paint. But it's
probably a sauce that has been endorsed specifically by Keith, your cat mentor.
Wow. Wow, this is called Keith's chicken sauce. What a coincidence.
A great plug.
What a natural plug.
Toss me the chicken sauce, small man. I must have it.
Through this meal, what I'd like to do is, you've all revealed something about your pasts to each other.
Right.
What did your companions learn about you, Joshua?
Well, they've learned that I am seeking out pigments and that I like painting. But further, they've learned all about how my last relationship failed because I was with the woman who also liked magic, but turns out she was evil. My family kicked me out of my house because I didn't want to pursue a career in finances and banking like them. I wanted to be an artist, so sort of parted ways. And as I was traveling, I sort of saw there were a lot of colors out there in the world, and I thought, you know, this is what I'm chasing right now.
Yeah, and you must have come north to Snowdonia specifically because there is a shade of crimson.
Well, I heard about this crimson mist situation, and I thought I might go try to get myself some, see what other pigments are floating around there.
Carol, what did your companions learn about you?
Absolutely nothing.
Nice.
I like this. So Carol is obviously a sort of a closed-off person who does not reveal too many things. But because we are in a sort of narrative constraints here, where we want to get as much information as possible, I think by saying nothing, it's showed them something. What? Wow. Powerful emotion that rests beneath this tough veneer do they sense but dare not speak aloud because they know it would incur your wrath?
Perhaps the long, withdrawn look in my eye as I exhale from my perpetually lit cigarette speaks to a deep sadness and pain, a longing perhaps, not in the present, maybe in the past, maybe in the future, but something where I've lost and I want to go back to.
Oh, yeah, we did say that the smoke from your cigarette tastes like the last kiss that you had with your lover. There's this wistfulness that's unavoidable as you exhale. Like perhaps it conjures up memories of the last kisses that they've had with their own loved ones. I think is especially before he takes another bite relevant to Edgar, or Edgar. What do your companions learn from you?
Years ago, on a quiet night, my wife and my child were kidnapped by a mysterious force. I was stabbed in the kidney, and rather than use magical healing, I carry that scar to this day. It's on my body. I will find who took them. I will bring them back, and I will cause pain to all that stands in my way.
I think he says this. He's holding like one of those wooden goblets full of ale and crushes it in his hand. It just like spills over the table.
I am so filled with love that I'm filled with rage.
Oh, Edgar.
He had drank a lot of it, so it's not a ton of damage to the table, but it still gets there.
I also went to 7 years of barbarian college at Ya'ale.
And he won't shut up about it. finally, Hatankles, what do your companions learn of you during this dinner?
I've been traveling alone for quite some time now. I left the town where I grew up with other tieflings where I was very tall for my species. I was like just like really upper 10%, 20%.
Like a solid 5'8".
Yeah, like I was like very tall. But I've been traveling on my own, and after this encounter with a giant kitty Keith, he told me that I would write a song that would save the world. I've been working on this for quite some time now, and it isn't finished yet, but I know that when the moment's right, I will sing this song and something amazing will happen. Kitty Keith left me with very few hints, but he did say that I have all the tools that I need, and when the moment's right, it will reveal itself to me. And then before I left, he gave me this necklace, and within the necklace is a T, which I thought was very on the nose because I'm a tiefling, even though it's spelled differently. And the T is something I can only use once at my moment of deepest need.
T is in the drink or a tooth?
T.
T.
T, yeah. Teeth.
Tea. Tea. Tea like leaves.
It's like, a leaf.
Yeah.
I thought it was a tooth.
It could be shaped like a tooth. Why not?
Yeah, sometimes dried herbs. Cool, fun. What a great group of folks you got.
I think like you've hit a moment in your meal where like, you know, you've heard each other's stories. You got to see each other in battle. Like, you know that this is a good group of people that you're hanging out with when you start to hear chanting and yelling outside.
Sounds like a song, but scarier.
A scary song, if you
Usually
will.
That's a chant.
A spooky song.
Carol, do you want to go see what the ruckus is all about?
Hey, before we send someone, what is everyone good at?
You know, some magic, some color theory, you know.
Basically everything, but I don't do spells. I don't do spell stuff. Super strong, super quick, super nimble, hardy as hell, and I got a smile that'll knock your socks off. But, yeah, I don't do magic stuff.
I've got a little bit of magic, a little bit of song, but as you can tell already, I'm most known for my charisma. I'm a charming dude. People can't resist me. And I'm nimble. I just slip around. I'm just like a sneaky little sexy nimble person.
I'm also very charismatic. I forgot to mention that.
I think I'm...
I felt it, though.
Nice.
I felt it.
I don't have the most street smarts, I'm gonna tell you, but I'm intelligent.
Nice.
I had really good rolls, and I put them all in the physical stuff. So I'm a 4-3-3-0-0-2.
What about you, Carol?
I don't understand any of this on the paper.
So you're good at...
deception?
Yeah, you're good at deception, sneaking around.
Sneaking around.
And, you know, assassinating
people. You are charming.
People,
these on the left side.
Ah, yes.
Those are your base attributes.
I'm a negative 2 strength.
No, you're the tiny number underneath.
I'm a 7. You're right. Oh, I see.
So I'm
negative 2 is your modifier. That's the more important
right.
of the two. That's
so
what
your
we'll
strength
use.
Is.
I'm a 19 charisma.
Whoa.
I'm very charming.
Hey heroes, it's James, your game master. Welcome to the mid-roll. We'll get back to our adventure with the Try Guys in a second, but first I wanted to take a minute to tell you about some of the other wonderful shows we have here on the One Shot Network. If you like what you're hearing here, be sure to check out Campaign Skyjacks. Skyjacks is one of the ongoing games we feature here on the One Shot Network. It's about a crew of pirates aboard the skyship Uhuru, who are facing a unique challenge because their captain is dead. But 4 conspirators are using necromancy to pretend he's still alive. Join Gable, a 7-foot-tall, gender-fluid, non-binary berserker. Travis, a smooth-talking changeling con man. Jonnet, an enthusiastic 15-year-old cabin boy with dreams of being captain. And Dref, a nervous doctor who also knows necromancy. In an original world inspired by folk tales and the music of the Decemberists. Campaign Skyjacks has action, adventure, extremely good comedy, and queer romance. You can find it by searching for Campaign or James D'Amato in your favorite podcatcher. Before we get back to our adventure, I want to take a quick moment and thank our backers on Patreon, who make this show and all the shows on our network possible. Daniel Rowrig, thank you so much. Ryan Bradshaw, thank you. Roberto Vasquez, thank you so much. Mel Robb, thank you. Catherine Lindsay Brennan Johnson, thank you so much. Jeffrey Bodoon, thank you. Max Kreisky, thank you very much. Christopher Wasenin, thank you very much. Sir Edmund, thank you. And Jocelyn Hale, thank you so much. Thanks again to everyone who supports us on Patreon. I certainly wouldn't have been able to fly out and record with the Try Guys without you. With all of that out of the way, let's get back to the show.
I mean, that opening fight with the skeleton felt pretty natural, but like, how do you play?
You've been that's it.
We've been playing.
You can use what we will do a more formal combat later, which will happen in turns and whatnot. But rolling and saying what happens is D&D. That's it, baby. Okay, you already know how to play.
Wow.
You already know what it is.
You already know.
All right.
The game has been within
like
you
our
all along.
Are converging.
They are.
So
it's hard to not. I hear a chant and I also hear a news helicopter above.
There's a helicopter out there. So you hear the chanting and the screaming and also a fantasy helicopter. It looks like one of those Da Vinci corkscrew machines, but makes the same sounds as distant versions of our regular universe helicopters.
Huh.
So That's something that's in our fantasy world now. Carol,
yes.
You have been tasked by your group to go outside and see what's going on unnoticed. So for that, I'm going to ask for a stealth skill roll. That'll involve you taking your D20, which you may want to separate from your other dice just to make it easier to find. It's that one.
Yes.
You are going to roll that and add stealth, the skill there. So make your roll and then add a number to it, and we'll see how well you do.
Stealth is here.
Yes.
All right, here I go to find out what this chanting's all about.
16.
16 is the base roll. What's your...
Stealth is plus 8.
Oh, my God.
You're so sneaky.
Yeah,
Christ.
So that's 24, which is really good.
So sneaky.
I think it's you Batman the animated series, these people. They're like, Carol, why don't you go check out what's going on? And you're already gone.
I was never there, except my lone, untouched grape.
Yes. There's a grape and like a little bit of silvery smoke. We cut to you like in the shadows outside in this, you know, gothic little town. You can see people carrying torches and chanting. There is a person who looks very distressed in manacles that they're pushing through town. You can see, I think, easily just by looking at them, especially being Carol, you know instantly and intuitively, this is a non-binary person.
Yeah.
So they're pushing through, we found another one! We're gonna burn them and chase away this crimson ruby mist as quickly as possible! And there are cheers from the rest of the crowd as this person is just in very clear distress.
Well, we must save this person. So I'm going to return back to my new comrades, I guess.
Who do you spook as you do this? Like, you must scare somebody as you return completely silently as well.
Oh, for sure, the short one.
Carol's fingers are just running up your back as she returns.
And I say, Hatankles.
It's you, Carol.
They've got a poor soul out there, chained up to manacles. Apt name, manacles. And we have to go save this person, because clearly they are not the source of this crimson mist.
How many of them are there?
Upwards of 55.
55?
Yes, I count in tens and I saw about half of 10.
Are they armed?
Well, there are many arms.
Doesn't matter.
They have arms?
Arms with arms.
Wow. Legs?
Legs, but not armed on the legs, but armed on the arms.
What about weapons with those arms?
Weapons are the arms on the arms.
Wow.
And they have armor?
The armor's on the arms that are holding the arms.
Oh.
So who here would like to try and stop this, like, proceeding that's happening outside?
I will do it.
All right.
We're going to just attack.
Well, I think we should all go outside, Edgar. If there's that many guys out there, I think it might be helpful for all of us to be involved.
I think you definitely should all go outside, but I can see Edgar sort of charging in, throwing caution to the wind.
Yeah.
Edgar, I would like you to burst out and roll an intimidation check for me.
Ah! 3. Plus 4.
Okay, so I think that is bad enough as a check that Edgar, like, you're not the smartest person in this group. I think you go out, people are chanting, you're yelling, and you just get swept up in the crowd.
This isn't working.
And the people in the crowd go, yeah! And you're like, oh yeah, this is great!
Not what I meant. Oh, now they think I'm one of them.
Okay, well, Edgar didn't do the best. Who's got another idea?
I can do some music. I've also got some spells, and I think I can use a spell to confuse the group and get their attention away from the person they're trying to burn.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to cast Mage Hand, which sends a magical hand out into the world, and I'm going to use it to pinpoint the ringleader, and I'm going to use the hand to make him dance in ways that he doesn't want to. And everyone's going to look and go, wow, what a freak. That must be a witch. And they're all going to try and burn him. And while they're distracted by this beautiful dancing man, I might be singing as well, just to give it a backdrop. You guys can go in, rescue the person.
Excellent. This sounds like a beautifully convoluted plan. So what Mage Hand will allow you to do as a spell is control this magical floating hand that can manipulate up to 5 pounds of force. It sounds like you want to generate this Mage Hand.
Didn't realize it was only 5 pounds. Are these do these happen to be tinier people than me, maybe?
No, they're much larger than you.
Like, it's just a group of gnomes. It sent out this magical hand. It sounds to me like you want to tickle someone in this group who appears to be like an authoritative ringleader to try and distract them and maybe break up the crowd, which
Here's what I'm going to do, knowing I can only do 5 pounds. First, I'm going to go by, and I'm going to tap each of them on the shoulder, make them go, huh? And then they're going to be like, dude, why'd you tap me on the shoulder? They're going to start fighting. Then I'm going to start tickling the ringleader, and he's going to go crazy. They're going to think he's hysterical. They think hysterical people are witches.
Okay. I need you to make a sleight of hand check to basically use that mage hand to distract this group enough to, like, dissuade them from this horrible deed that they
Dude, you got it. How do I do that?
So you're going to take a d20, and a sleight of hand should be one of the skills written on this part of your character sheet, and they go in alphabetical order. So
I got a +3 sleight of hand.
Hell yeah, roll it up.
Oofa doofa.
What'd you roll?
I rolled a 2.
Okay.
I think it got caught in like a divot. I think it was a table error.
Shall we send Joshua out?
So here's what before Joshua gets involved, because I love the idea. This is just going from bad to worse. So what happens?
Just working on my grape, and I'm waiting for someone to.
What is the color of your magic?
Like, oh, green, for sure.
Okay, so there's this beautiful green color, this light green hand that you summon up into the air, and you send out there, and it's moving along the ground like the thing from Adam's Family, yeah. And like you're planning on like crawling up stuff or whatnot, but it just gets kicked up by somebody's boot, and it's like hovering in the air suddenly, and like you look surprised, and it looks surprised, and somebody goes, hey, wait a minute. That one over there has made a green magical hand appear. It's another witch. Get him.
No.
And I think with your permission, Ned, Edgar is going to run over, grab his ankles, and like lift him in the air. I got another witch.
Wow, yeah. You must be so strong because I'm normally sized human being. And so for you to be able to carry me is incredible. You
know, I am so strong. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
I've been working on my buys, my tries.
So we've lost both Edgar and Hatankles to the mob.
Well, no, we're thinking long game strategy. Now I'm one of them, so I'm lifting up Hatankles. And I'm running over to the other witch, and then I'll be closer, and I can probably spring him free.
Joshua, what is your reaction to this? You've seen two, you know, fairly, from your perspective, well thought out plans go horribly awry. What is your plan here?
Well, okay, so if we assess the situation, aggression didn't work, trickery didn't work, maybe we should just try to talk to them and say, hey, everybody, what are we doing? Are we really gonna burn this person? Without a trial? Nothing? Guys, if we want to save our community, we have to start from the inside out. So I'd like to go outside and try to reason with them.
So this sounds like a persuasion roll to me.
Yeah.
So take one of your d20s, roll it and add your persuasion.
Persuasion is +3, so that's good. A 3, so I don't know. I don't know. Okay, we got a 6.
So, Demesto, what happens now? What happens to...
So, I think you rush out and go, everybody, wait!
Everybody, listen up.
So what I think happens is you're explaining right and wrong to this angry mob in the way a third grade teacher would explain to a bunch of kids why they have to stop playing with the sparkles and focus up and learn math.
So, guys, we have to get along. You can't be so stupid and spend all your time fighting each other. Are you even listening to me? What's wrong with all of you? Sit down, pay attention, and let's stop being a mob.
Well, he's not a witch, but it is a very condescending dragon. Can we just maybe add him to the fire too?
And everybody like kind of murmurs in agreement, and they like go to grab you, and suddenly you are next to Hatankles, the poor soul who was being tried earlier, and your friend Edgar is there.
Oh no.
I'm realizing that I understand the pluses now, because I could have done something that I'm better at doing. I get it now.
Carol!
Carol, help us!
Carol!
Help, girl. You gotta help us, please.
Is there an option to leave?
This is D&D. You can do whatever you want. I will point out we are going to be in store for an extremely different story if you just leave your companions right here.
No. I've left too many people behind in my wake. I think I'm invested.
Yeah, what makes you decide to stay? This is a familiar situation. Like, many times before you've come across groups of people that where you could have just left them, but there's something about this group. What draws you to them?
They all went out to help this poor soul that's been wrongfully accused, and that poor soul happens to look a lot like Rooney the Ranger. My long-lost love, the lipstick on my perpetually lit cigarette.
There's something about their face, something about the way they carry themselves. That freedom that you so admired in Rooney is something that is being reflected on this person's face as well. And the fact that they wanted to help someone like that
moved something deep inside of me that was stone cold and now warm with the embers of friendship.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So with that, Carol, what do you do?
I feel like I need to go divert their anger towards someone else, perhaps the ringleader of the group, who I've identified as the loudest, most painfully inept-looking man.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, for sure the one in the front who's screaming the loudest. Big hair, orange skin. And now I want all of the people out there, I'm going to whisper to them. It's going to be a whisper that carries through with the embers of my cigarette that makes them turn and believe that truly it's this person, the ringleader, who is actually the witch.
Interesting. Okay, so you're going to try to turn the crowd here. That is going to be either persuasion, or if you add like a little bit more of a lying edge to it, you could make it a deception roll.
Well, let's go with deception.
Okay.
It sounds sexier.
So...
Is it better?
Tell me what Carol says.
It is better.
Yeah.
Carol says, with bated breath, stab that guy.
Okay, so you're just like, you're trying to turn the crowd with like just a blast of stage presence.
He's your father. Everyone hates their father.
And now stab that guy.
That's the deception they believe. He's their father, so stab that guy.
Okay.
Much like my own father, who I hated.
I will say this, Eugene. This is going to be an incredibly difficult role. Like, the number that I'm going to need to see is going to be high, because convincing a crowd full of people that one person is all of their father, that's something that normally you would use magic for.
Bro, you don't know how things go down in Snowdonia.
Since you've identified a ringleader, there's the potential that, you know, you are an assassin. You could grab and hold this ringleader at knife point and maybe have a bit of a standoff.
Saying that I could stab someone.
I think you can solve this problem with knives.
With violence?
Yes.
Dungeon Master, you're speaking my language. And Edgar's.
Oh, yeah. I'm so hard right now.
I'm on board with your,
Yeah, you might be slightly better at that. So what I will ask for then instead is a stealth roll, or I will say you can still roll a deception if you are going to use it to get close to this person and then pull a knife on them.
Pull out my gay rights.
Yes.
Yes, I like this plan. I want to get close to them, to see that they think I'm part of them.
All right, roll your deception.
Come on, Carol.
Oh, come on, Carol.
10 plus?
7.
17! There's a number, right, baby! Okay,
yes.
So you with that, you're going to tell a very convincing lie that is going to get you close to the ringleader of this group of people. What lie do you tell?
Have his herpes medication.
That's right.
And they're all fucking, and they're just, oh my God, get to the front.
Oh, please, you must. You must get our inept mayor his herpes medication.
Yes.
So you're hurried through the crowd. They get you up close to this bloviating, miserable person.
Ugh.
And you, how do you pull a knife on this person? What does that look like?
Well, I first let him look at me from behind. to catch his attention.
So they're hurrying you through the crowd, and you do it in a way that your back is to him, so you can dramatically look over your shoulder.
Nothing is worth it if I can't dramatically look back over my shoulder.
Perfect.
And when he's hypnotized by my form, I catch him with my good form, if you know what I'm saying.
Excellent. So, please describe how you're holding.
Well, if the last was a tango, then this is a paso doble. And yes, the bull is me. He thinks he's in control and that I'm the raging creature, but in fact, I'm seeing crimson. So, and I get him right in the gut.
So you stab him?
Oh, yes, I stab him.
Okay, so we're doing this full-on stab. Okay. All right, so then I think I'm going to need you all to roll for initiative as we enter a formal combat.
Oh, shit. What do we do?
Well, heroes, that's it for One Shot this week, but don't worry. We'll be back with the next hour of the Try Guys adventure next week. In the meantime, if you're looking for other great gaming shows, be sure to check out one of the programs on our network. Like Asians Represent. Asians Represent celebrates Asian creators and diversity in the gaming community. Join hosts Agatha Cheng and Daniel Kwan as they discuss gaming, genre, and representation with their guests and occasionally argue with each other about the sound of Agatha's beloved air horn app. Music and sound effects for this series were provided by Soundstripe and Kevin MacLeod. Find more from Soundstripe at soundstripe.com. And more from Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. As always, we end One Shot with a call to action. And this year, we want everyone listening to make sure they are registered to vote. But it's also important to remember that your political participation doesn't need to stop at voting. You can always call your local representatives to tell them about issues that you care about. And if you have a candidate that you really like and want to support, you can volunteer to support their campaign, whether you're of voting age or not. A brighter future depends on everyone working together. So get registered and get involved. Thanks, heroes. As always, a humble and hearty thanks to our supporters on Patreon. If you want to help us in a non-monetary way, the best thing you can do is tell a friend. You can also leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Every 5-star review we get helps new people find the show. For the latest One-Shot news, be sure to follow me on Twitter at OneShotRPG. Look us up on Facebook at facebook.com/OneShotPod, or look for news on the site at OneShotPodcast.com. If you want to inquire about ad rates, live appearances, commissioning episodes, or you have a general question or comment for the show, contact us at GameMaster@OneShotPodcast.com. One Shot is a production of the One Shot Podcast Network, in association with Paracosm Press. Paracosm Press is a Chicago-based tabletop games publisher. You can find more information at paracosmpress.com. Finally, that music, which is right now swelling up over my voice, is Adventure by Be Your Own Pet, courtesy of Infinity Cat Records. See you next time, heroes.